Well, don't I get all the fun readings? I was doing a lot of channeling this week of various sources, and I have to say thank you to David for the Android, because that's the one that gave me the most courage to speak this morning. First thing I want to say is all these readings point in exactly the same direction today, and it's kind of timely, I admit that, but it's also an interesting study in how over the years we have taken so much of phrases of Scripture and twisted them around in such ways that make us comfortable. And so the voice in my head this week has been very uncomfortable. I've had sleepless nights. I've been panic-stricken about what I was going to say today, and that's good, because that means I'm not in control of it. And that's important to me, because I have to understand myself why I was placed in this position at this time and in this place. So it's interesting to me that this the one phrase that sticks out into my mind, you should not be divorced. How many years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago in the church, you couldn't be divorced. You weren't accepted in the church as a divorced person. And that, you know, the admonishments on marriage and divorce come over and over again in Scripture. And so it's interesting to me that we've managed somehow to work our way around that, and yet the five times that sexual orientation is mentioned in Scripture, we still go crazy about it. So for me, it's difficult to understand how, as a deacon, in my role of bringing the world outside into the church and the church to the outside world, how am I going to explain that to people who don't understand? It's not difficult to tell you, because you're sitting here this morning, but it is very difficult on the outside, very difficult. I said before, I have very little trouble justifying my sexual orientation in this particular church and in this particular place, but I sure have a hell of a time justifying my Christianity to my LGBT friends. And I do. Not the Anglican Church alone. Christianity in general has become so fractured that it's nearly impossible for a Christian, a true Christian, to exist. We talk about, Christians talk a lot about, you know, Christianity is under siege. Well, it's under siege by Christians. It's under siege by people who do what has been done in the past with Scripture and take these passages out of context to justify an existence or to justify a way of thinking. Now, as I wade into the uncomfortable part of this, I've talked to you about racism before, and I've talked to you about white privilege before, and I've talked to you about how I feel about being part of dismantling racism and being part of this particular culture. This week, I have watched, like the rest of you, what's going on in our country, and I have this to say, and remember, please, this is not my theological way, this is my own diaconal way of thinking. I was ordained to make people feel uncomfortable. Well, here we go. Somebody asked me, I was down at one of the protests, and somebody asked me, oh, this must take you back. Don't you miss those days, you know, on Young Street and Church Street when you were fighting for your rights? No, I do not miss those days one bit, thank you very much. It's difficult. It's difficult to be a minority. It's difficult to be in a place where you don't feel equal to everybody else. And when you are put in that place by the majority rule. Now, majority rule is a lovely white people phrase that we've used over and over again to justify the way we act. Just because the majority thinks that way doesn't mean it's right. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Because we have used Scripture that way to make ourselves feel comfortable. So those of us who weren't feeling uncomfortable for the first 40 years of our life, what were we supposed to do? Well, we had to march up and down Yonge Street in Toronto. We had to stand in front of St. Michael's Cathedral with banners saying it was unfair that Christians taught or treated us this way. So I don't miss those days. And I understand what's going on, because it was a system that mirrored by our church we set up when we came here. We set up the system of law. Now, I'm not saying we should all go out and break the law. Law is necessary. But it does not always mean that it's right. There's laws in other countries that are, you know, we say their laws are wrong. Well, why do we say that? Who are we to judge? If scripture and law is being used to suppress another group of people, it's wrong, period. I'm sorry, if you don't like that, that's the way it is. It's not fair. I have white privilege. I know I have white privilege. So I'm in the middle of this little, you know, this little scene here where as my sexual orientation comes up to light, then my white privilege goes down because I'm not equal anymore. So imagine yourself feeling worse than that. You know, one of my priest friends told me, when she moved to Prince Rupert from Toronto, she's of Indian descent. She said, I was, at 9 years old, I was thrown in a dumpster by a bunch of kids in school. Who taught them that? Who allowed that to happen? The comfortable majority rule of society did that. Well, of course we did. Well, we have to stop. And I've heard over and over and over again from people in my own family included, it's not my problem. I didn't do this. I didn't set this up. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not doing anything. Leave me alone. Sorry. There's no escaping from this. We, the privileged ones, have an obligation. An obligation to look after the poor and the needy and the sick and the addicted and the homeless and all these things that we created by the system. We created that. We created the imbalance. We have to adjust the imbalance. And that does not mean going down and carrying the banners, but that means not getting in the way of the people who are. And that means not, shall I say the word, whining when our car gets stopped or we're stuck in traffic for an extra hour. Well, too bad. Too bad. Sorry. I'm sorry that your privileged life was inconvenienced for an hour and a half, but people are fighting for their rights of existence. And that is important to all of us. Because when your freedom starts getting taken away from you, what do you do then? What will we do then if that happens to us? The leader of the Conservative Party spoke about telling the protesters to check their privilege at the door. I nearly fell off my chair laughing. You have got to be kidding me. A man who went to private school, a man whose family paid, or whose his family is subsidized by your tax dollars, it can stand up and tell people who are protesting to check their privilege. Look in the mirror, check yours first. I am a recovering racist, and I know that. I know that I even though I didn't actively go out and call people names, I did not do anything to stop anyone else from doing it. And that I will carry with me, probably for the rest of my life. But I also understand what it's like to be a minority, and that is painful. And when you think that the world is against you, and majority rule is used to keep you that way, then that's a problem. Of course, if you don't believe in LGBT rights, if only 10% of the population is gay, well then the majority rule, the other 90%, get to make the decision for you. And that's what we've done. That's what we've done for this community. That's what we've done over the years in our country. And that has to stop. It has to change. So, my prayer is that we all realize we have a part in this, we all do the right thing, and when I go out to the outside world to take the cares of to find the cares of the world and bring it back, I can say that in this place and in this church, we are fair, we are equal, we are just, and we love. And that's the most important thing we can do now.